Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There was a greeting card company that had as a slogan, "When you care enough to send the very best." Well, the implication was, of course, when you really care for a person to whom you send a card, you want to send them the best card, and of course, that was their card. It was once suggested to me that their slogan, however, could serve as a very accurate commentary on what God has done for mankind. God cares for us, and He sent someone for mankind's benefit, and He sent the very best. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. In the small city of Bethlehem, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and in this fashion, God sent His Son into the world to save man. Scripture makes the dogmatic and unmistakable claim that Jesus was sent by God the Father. Repeatedly in the book of John, over 40 times, is this proclamation made. For the sake of space, we just read one or two. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth me and heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Again, Jesus said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Listen to His answer. "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." Well, repeatedly, this is in John, that God sent Christ. We contend He sent His very best. Hebrews chapter 3 calls Jesus an apostle, and He calls Him the high priest of our profession. And the word apostle means one sent. God sent Jesus Christ. And when we accept Christ, we accept the Father. Friend, there's no acceptance of one apart from the other. The only way that one can do the will of God is to do the will of Jesus Christ. And the Father not only sent the Son, but He was with the Son in all that He did and all that He said. John said, "Behold, I go my way to Him that sent me." That's what He said before He ascended into heaven. Now, in sending Jesus, God showed His love and His care for mankind. John 3 tells us God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice, friend, He sent His only begotten Son. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send some prophet. He didn't send some lesser person. He sent the very best. No heavenly host would suffice. He sent the very best, His only begotten Son. With fair and honest people, there should never again be the contention that the Bible speaks of anything other than the deity of Jesus Christ. He was a man indeed, but more than man, not just one of the prophets, not just a mere teacher. Oh yes, He was all these things, but He was and is the divine Son of God. And if we do not believe the biblical message, we make Jesus a liar, for that was His claim. If He was a liar, why should anybody admire or honor Him in any way? Now, after Jesus accomplished His task here on earth, He ascended into heaven, as we have studied previously. God was not through sending, however. God sent another, who was the Holy Spirit. And why did God send the Holy Spirit? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would comfort and teach and bring to the remembrance of the apostles what Jesus had taught them. In sending the third person of the Godhead that consists of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the very best of excellency and deity was with man. And God also sent forth the apostles of Christ that He had chosen. John 13, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And again he said, As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. Again, then said Jesus, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. That's what he said to the apostles. Now, to receive the teaching of the apostles, and we do that by receiving the message that they preached, because they preached what the Lord had taught them, Jesus said, He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, to receive means to believe and to obey what is taught by the authority of Christ. Whereas Christ and the Holy Spirit are deity without imperfection, the apostles, of course, were mere men, earthen vessels, with sin and weaknesses, albeit inspired of God. We are also men of like passions with you, said the apostle Paul. Their greatness was not in themselves, but it was in the apostolic doctrine, that which they taught, in which the early church continued steadfastly. Their greatness was in their use of the keys of the kingdom that Jesus gave them, the fact that they were inspired of the Holy Spirit, speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why, their message came by divine revelation from God. And that's the reason for their greatness. What they taught, it came not from themselves, nor from any other man, but from God. The divine message was the message of the apostles, and they were sent by the Father. Thus far, we have seen how God has sent His only begotten Son. God sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and God sent the apostles with the proclamation of the Word of God, just as revealed through Christ. And the message they preached, being sent from God, is the very best. It's the best news. It's the good news. It's the gospel. It's the only message of hope and forgiveness and redemption and salvation for mankind. And their message was an all-sufficient message to furnish man completely unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And they made known the Christ that saves us, that in him we can be whole, we can be complete, we can be justified before our Creator and Judge. But how much do we care about God? And how much do we care about what he has done? Oh, we sing songs that praise in his name. Our words are to be sacrifices of praise, but it is more than just lip service, isn't it? And do we really care? Well, let each examine himself. The Lord said to seek the kingdom and his righteousness first, Matthew 6:33. Do we do this? There can be none alongside him, for he is to be first. That's the teaching of the New Testament. And do we show that we really care by our example as to how we live? Some evidently do not care much about themselves, and they don't seem to care about those around them or the will of God, or they wouldn't live like they do. They would not refuse to obey his word. They would not hesitate to become Christians and to live accordingly. Most church people show they care when it is convenient, but many, really, do they care all the time? Why, let's apply the card and the slogan, Do we care enough to send the very best? Well, let's just ask ourselves a question or so. Do we care enough to worship our very best each Lord's Day? Are we faithful in our attendance to worship? Are we sincere in what we say and do? Why, that's something everybody has to answer before God. Now, we all know that there's more to Christianity than what we call going to church. That is a part of it, dear friend. But do you ever know a person who really cared for the things of God, who was indifferent toward this matter of worship? If one knows the teaching of the Bible, he will not dismiss lightly the necessity of attendance at the worship services of his church. And when we come to worship, when we sing, do we do our very best? Now, we may not have a melodious voice, but that's not what God wants. When we pray, our prayer is fervent and sincerely genuine. When we study, do we do so in order to learn the truth that we might make a personal application of it? And when we observe the Lord's Supper, is it done with understanding? Is it done with reverence? Do we do our very best? Friend, when we give, do we give our very best, or does God get the leftovers? Do we plan our giving as we are taught to do, or does it come after our luxuries and even the necessities? In the Bible, God's people gave of the first fruits. Their sacrifices were of the very best animals, without spot and without blemish. And in our work for the Lord, do we show that we're trying to do our very best? Now, a Christian is a servant of God. And we're to help the poor and care for the sick and to lift the fallen and comfort the bereaved and encourage the distressed, support the strong. Now, these things are done, and we take positive and negative steps in carrying these things out. Possibly we often overlook our fellow man because we're so involved with ourselves, but do we provide time and means that it takes to lend assistance? Maybe just to make a visit or to deliver aid or to attend funerals or to send a card or some kind of word of encouragement. Do we go about our work with enthusiasm? And it demands that. It deserves that. We would not dare give our jobs by which we earn our livelihood our unconcern. We ought to care enough to do our very best. But, friend, do we care enough to study our very best? Those who truly study, why, we know that study is exhausting. In fact, it's demanding. It takes energy, strenuous effort. But many have excused themselves, claiming the lack of capacity and ability. But that's not true. God intends for us to know the truth, and this takes study on our part. More often than not, people who do not study simply do not reflect the proper concern to do their very best. You see, friend, ignorance of the Bible in our time, why, it's frightening, because ignorance destroys. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We cannot keep the soul spiritually alive or favorable before God by just sort of a once-a-week sermon injection or inoculation. We're not given to just live in ignorance. We need to understand the spiritual meat, but we need to press on to the meat. We need our classes. We need our private study. We need to give our very best. Well, what I'm trying to say in this lesson, taking this slogan from this card company, when you care enough to do your very best, the bottom line may be expressed like this. God certainly cared enough. He cared enough for you and for me. He cared enough to send Jesus Christ. He cared enough to send the Holy Spirit to the apostles to guide them in the things that they taught. He cared enough to send the apostles and give the word of God that we are to follow. Dear friend, God cared enough to send the very best. Do we care enough to send the very best? Well, we can do that if we will only commit ourselves to a proper service before God. That's possible for every one of us, and we should strive to do that very thing. Well, now, we appreciate you listening today. We hope that you'll be back with us at another broadcast. Until that time, I want you to remember to fear God and keep His commandments. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.